You're listening to the Professional Brotherhood Podcast, because when the alarm sounds, nobody cares if you're career or volunteer.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Professional Brotherhood Podcast. Hello there, Kara.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. It's a Sunday. It's first snowstorm here in the Catskills, and I'll be on skis soon. So I'm happy.
We'll be looking forward to the ski patrol posts increasing again.
Yeah, absolutely. It's seasonal. You know, that's posts are very seasonal. You know, with me, right. You know, I'm like fall, winter, spring, summer, except by whatever it is that I happen to be doing that time of year. So
that's right. Yours is activity based, and mine will be me throwing snow fits while shoveling in the morning.
Right. Yeah. I hear you. It's fun stuff. It's good. I like it. So it's snowing in central New York then too, I'm assuming.
Yes. Right? Here in central New York.
Okay, good.
Yes.
All right, cool. So I'm excited. We have a guest with us this evening that we have this list of potential guests. It's been kind of, I don't know, we've been talking about this list for, I feel like, months. I should scroll back in my Instagram and see when the first time we actually talked about this was. But we have D from Soot Soap, and for those of you who are not familiar with Soot Soap, we're going to make you familiar with Soot Soap this evening. But I have a feeling probably a lot of listeners are already following your Instagram and your social media page, because we all seem to travel in the same cool circle, right? So D, welcome to the show. We're happy to have you.
Thank you. I think that's the first time I've been in the cool circle. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. So Kara and I talked about doing this episode a while ago, and then we connected a while ago on Messenger, and it's been a while. So I don't know. Life has just gotten.
I'll come together tonight.
Yeah, it's all coming around. You know, we're making a conscious effort of doing all the stuff we've been talking about doing for the last like 4 months. So it's exciting. Kara.
Totally excited to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. No, thanks for joining us. So let's kick it off. If you don't mind, if you want to introduce yourself and give us a little of your background and background on the company, and we'll go from there.
Sure. Yeah. My name is Dee. I'm a co-founder at Soot Soap. Where to start? I'm a marketer by trade. So I have almost 20 years in marketing on the agency side, working for brands like PepsiCo and Ford and UFC and Reebok, Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, which is the Leafs and Raptors here in Toronto area. Kind of grew up in my career seeing some pretty amazing brands and getting to work on strategy and development for those brands, which was pretty awesome. And then I met my to-be husband and was quickly ingrained into the firefighting world. So I'm proudly a firefighter wife. I am a mom, and now I'm the co-founder of Soot Soap. So my husband is a career firefighter, and he came home smelling that smell.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is probably one of the only places I don't have to describe what that smell is. And he woke me from a deep sleep. It was after a live training, and he woke me after driving a while, after showering, woke me from a deep sleep with a smell. And I said, could you not have showered before you came home? It was so strong. It was like he just walked through that wall of smoke and right into our sheets. And he said, I showered 3 times.
Yeah.
So that's my husband. He's very quiet. It's a terrible impression. So I started looking on forums. I started talking to other fire spouses and firefighters to say, what do people do for this? This is insane. Like, even when you think it's gone, it comes back after you work out, after you sweat. It comes back with a vengeance. So what do people do about it? And I got all these messages about, I use Irish Spring, I heard tomato juice works for your dog, all these different types of things, basically saying there isn't anything. Right. So, you know, I have what I like to call Skittle syndrome. I have all these ideas like Skittles in my head, just every color of the rainbow that I, you know, have this big plan of things I want to put forward. But this one just kept coming up and I kept looking into it going, there has to be an answer here. And of course, the more I looked into it, the more I discovered what causes smell. You know, scientifically, smell is caused by something. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we know there are studies that show that that smoke smell is actually showing that there are increased levels of PAHs or polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons in urine of firefighters as a result and because of that smell, they're correlated. So there wasn't anything to solve this. This was in 2017, a long time ago. So I decided to create something and I spent the next 2 years doing research, research and development, trying to figure out how to go about doing that.
Wow. Wild. Yeah. So we're all, everybody listening to this is, well, if they're not familiar with that smell, I don't know why they're listening to our podcast, quite honestly, but
yeah, sure. We're happy to have you.
Yeah. We're happy to have you, but yeah. Yeah. And it's very true. I mean, we've talked about this before. Kara and I have talked about this off air. We've talked about it on air with different guests over time, but, you know, I know for all my years in the fire service, yeah, I would come home from a fire. You absolutely stink. You take a shower. It might seem a little bit better until you start to sweat or your hair gets a little bit wet again. And then that smell comes right back. And, you know, I know until finding, you know, your product and some of the other products that are out there today, really the only, you know what I used to use? I used to use, I could only get it at Trader Joe's of all places. It was like a tea tree shampoo and something about that, like that worked better than anything else. Yeah. You know, it still didn't work great, but it worked better, you know? And yeah, it's a problem. And with firefighter cancers really coming to the forefront here over the last couple years, but I think really probably in the last year, there's been like a real solid push, I think maybe the last two, to make people, you know, more educated as to, you know, why this is dangerous to us. Obviously it's what, you know, your research and what you guys are doing is important.
Yeah. You know, it was a lot slower than I expected it to be. In 2017, when I started looking into this and started reading the research and talking to the researchers about what they were finding, you know, these studies were coming out in 2017 mm-hmm. that, you know, firefighters are, they had 3 to 5 times more PAHs in their urine after fire than before. You know, they talk about toxic handoff. They talk about, you know, all the different toxins, not just PAHs, but PFAS and all these other chemicals. And I literally, we launched in 2019 and I feel like I've spent, you know, 5 years now educating and, yeah. You know, I'm a person, I'm not a firefighter. I'm the first to say I'm not a firefighter. Thankfully my husband is a very smart man and listened to the research right away. But you know, I've spent all these years educating and people just, you know, as much as we love change in the fire service, it's taken a really long time to get that message out there, but I feel like I'm hearing now, you know, protocols are changing, SOPs are changing, and there really is a push and people are really starting to understand. You know, I try not to talk about cancer because it's hard for me to talk about, and it's, as a brand, it's hard mm-hmm. to be that negative all the time, and I'm not professing to be curing cancer.
Sure.
But at the same time, people are dying.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And whether you are a firefighter or not, you're around a firefighter being your future husband. Right. And whether it's a family member, you know, your kids, whatever it is. If you look at some of these studies and the transfer of carcinogens from us as firefighters are, you know, from our gear to our body to then bringing it home and on all the things that we touch, it's mind blowing if you pay attention to it. I mean, it's scary information is what it really is, you know.
Yeah, firefighters' children are much more likely to be diagnosed with cancer than the general population. which is telling you something. Like that's not random. There's a reason. And I'm a mother and I'm a fire wife and I'm, you know, I have many friends and fire family out there and nobody wants to be seeing that going around. I don't want that for you. I just met you.
I don't want that for you. Sure, absolutely. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Important though, because you do have a very unique perspective because it is being brought into your home. So you have a firsthand knowledge of it. And you know, there is a lot of weight to that as well, you know, because as you said, this all got started because you noticed that the scent of it was sticking around. So if the smell is there, then there's material there, right? It's not coming out of nothing. The fire wasn't at your home, thankfully. So, you know, the firefighters are bringing things into the home. And as Brian said, we're all just starting to have increased awareness of it. I mean, I'm a firefighter kid. I grew up, you know, my father was a firefighter as well. And I remember the smell. I could recognize that smell anywhere, you know, from being a kid and having him come in through the garage and, you know, his regular coat smelled like it. He wasn't wearing his turnout gear home, but it sure garage, you could smell, you know, when he was home, you could tell right away that he was there.
And even you guys know, like it's on your sheets after you've showered and you come home, it's in your car, it's on your bag, in your locker, it's everywhere. And there's a reason for that. So,
yeah. And that, and you know, and that's one of the things I think about of years gone by, you know, I mean, all the years that, you know, I mean, now all the guys in my station, and we're an all volunteer house, but everybody keeps their gear in the firehouse, you know, other than the chief officers, and we drive pickup trucks. So our stuff's in the back. It's not in the cab, you know, but you know, all the years that we didn't leave our gear at the station and we would throw it in the back of our car and we would haul it around with us, you know, everywhere we went because we had to have our gear just in case the fire call came in so we could race to the fire, you know? And I mean, that was the first 20 years of my career doing things that way, you know? And now we look at all the statistics and all the things that are coming out about that now. And it's a different world.
Yeah. So know better, do better, right? Like the more we learn, the better we can do.
Absolutely.
What was the, so once you decided that you were going to create a product to try to address this issue, how did you decide, you know, where to, how to start with it? You know, did you decide, we're just going to do a body wash, we're going to do a shampoo, like where, how did you decide what direction to take?
Yeah. I try to remember cause it feels like so long ago now, but I definitely started with ingredients. So I'm a bit of a nutty, crunchy tree hugger. So I start, you know, obviously I have something that's all natural. I didn't want to add chemicals to chemicals. It seems really perverse to me. So it was really important that I had an all natural, functional first, easy to use product. So charcoal came out, and I know there's been a lot of talk about charcoal and why it works. It scientifically works. It's centuries, if not thousands of years old. Mm-hmm. We use it on water and gas masks. Like it works. There's nothing that works better. It is the most absorbent material known to mankind. So I stuck on charcoal. The problem with charcoal is it's used often as a marketing ingredient. It's really hard to saturate, like thoroughly, to get the percentages that you need for it to be functional. And I wasn't willing to stop at that. So I have an amazing lab. I give them props right off the bat, but it took 2 years. It took 16 formulations, 43 lab tests, hundreds and hundreds of in-field tests to get to our first line. And that has not stopped since we started. I am all about innovation all the time. You know, once you know how you're doing, all you can do is improve. So that's what we're trying to do. So we have other ingredients like broccoli and wild cabbage extract, which sounds, you know, very hippie. But there are actually studies to show, and there's one that actually came out in 2021 that I actually stood up cheering when I heard about it because I'm a nerd. But that broccoli extract actually, it has basically a anti-cancer enzyme. So it works to fight cancer. So we have included that in our products. But also it was really important to me not to have and assume that one product would solve everything. you know, I've worked with a lot of brands in my past, and there is no one solution for everything. Right. So it was really important to me that we had a separate shampoo and a separate body or skin wash, because you need very different things for those parts of your body. So though our products have similar functional detoxifying and decontaminating and deodorizing ingredients, they're very, very different, as you've probably seen from, you know, a composition or from an end product format. So the shampoo is very fluffy. It lathers white. It's quite a thick lather, so much so that people are using it for their dogs, which is amazing. And that's meant to get past your hair. It's meant to get past your follicles on your head as well as on your body. We actually have a nuclear client who uses our shampoo exclusively because they were finding that uranium was sticking to body hair. So the guys, and I say guys because it was a fully male contamination unit, they had to shave their body hair because they couldn't get rid of it. So now they use Soot Soap because we work so well on hair to get rid of contaminants off of hair and to get through it and to the skin. And then our hand and body soap, conversely, is very thick and concentrated and black, black like magic oil. And it's meant to coat your skin very, very well. So there's a reason why our products are like they are. But that's part of the reason why it took so long as well, because I wanted to make sure we had really great products, because you guys deserve not just products that work, but, you know, products that are nice to use and smell okay and are all natural and don't have any added nastiness in there.
I 100% agree. And definitely the scent thing is like a huge thing for me. You know, I don't want to have extra like perfumes and scents and smell like a adolescent boy, you know, like when when I get done showering, I want to just be clean, you know, and like they're hard to find products that don't like add stuff back in.
Yeah. And you'll find our products smell very different. They're hopefully subtle and nice, but they're unusual because the products we've chosen, the functional ingredients are actually there for a reason. They're not necessarily, I mean, I work really, really hard to make sure they smell nice because I am like you. My husband has like a firefighter superpower. He can't smell anything. So he's no help at all. but you and I, we care. So yeah, it's really important to me as well. So like our hand and body soap almost has this like spicy coriander, subtle undertone. And our shampoo is, you know, light and smells a bit like tea tree oil, a bit like sage, a little bit minty
almost. It's very light and it does work really well. Like I do notice, because I do use your products, and I notice when I wash my hair, like I do only have to wash it one time, and I have longer hair, so typically that hasn't been the case, you know, prior, after a fire, you know, or after a training fire or whatever, I would take several washes until I couldn't smell it anymore. And that's not the case, with the Soot Soap shampoo. So it really does. It's amazing to me, like how quickly it does work.
Yeah. Well, any of the other products, you know, regular shampoos,
right.
You could wash your hair 3-4 times, you know, and it still wouldn't take it out. You know, right. it would smell, like I said, it would smell all right when you got out that day, but then you would get in the shower the next morning or that evening or whatever. And as soon as your scalp got wet, it was like reactivated, you know, you would smell it all over the place.
And your hair would be dry, right? Like, because you'd be washing it so often, it would just strip everything lovely out of your hair. So that was important to me as well, that, you know, we didn't take all the good stuff out, that we just took the nastiness. And our shampoo actually has won a global clean beauty award 2 years running, like first place. So I dare to say we're the first firefighter product that has ever done that. But hopefully we're giving a good experience as well as a good functional outcome, which is obviously why I'm here.
That's awesome. And how do you feel since, so you started this in 2017, you said it was launched in 2019. How do you feel? So that's 3 years, right? Since the product has actually been out, how do you feel it's been received from maybe in the beginning until now? Do you think there's been a trend of acceptance? Was it in the beginning, did you get kind of the, like, more of the naysayers? Like, oh, I don't what do I need that for, kind of a thing? Because you mentioned it before. I mean, the fire service is a difficult service when it comes to any kind of change or new product.
Yeah. I will say, someone said to me the other day, they said, well, you're the marketing guru. And I'm like, ah. Clearly not in this industry. I'm doing my best, but it's a fight. I will tell you, it has been a fight from day one, and it's a fight I'm passionate about. It's a fight I will keep fighting, but it is a fight. Make no mistake. We've had amazing feedback from day one. You know, from our trials, I started kind of R&D in 2017. We incorporated in 2018 and started our in-field testing, and we launched fully in 2019. And even in that time, like I got pushback from people in field that we were working with saying, this is an amazing product. It 100% works. But, you know, I just don't know about this industry. If they're going to develop SOPs for this, I don't know if you're going to be able to teach them what they need to know, was basically what I heard. But it really has been incredible. Everyone who tries our product, you know, says unequivocally it works. They love it. They're the first to talk about it. You know, we are very much a small business and a startup, so most of our success has come from word of mouth and people telling their friends it works, which I'm incredibly proud of, the products that we've made. But you know, it is a fight every day. And I would say in the past year is where I've really started to see people come to us and say, we're changing our SOPs. We're really looking out for health. We want to look for an end of year gift that promotes decon. Like this past year is really where I think it started to come to me and not me pushing education and information on other people. And it's really amazing to see. But we've always had, like, you know, we have Cal Fire as a customer. They're very progressive. In BC, they're very progressive. You know, even Newfoundland, they're pretty progressive. So we have these pockets of customers that have just gotten it from day one and are shouting from the rooftops, just like we are. But yeah, it's a fight. It's a fight I'm willing to take on, but.
So the organizations like Cal Fire, Newfoundland that are actually directly customers of yours, not their firefighters, are they actually instituting, policies so that the product is in the station available for the firefighters to use type of a thing, and a decon when they come back from a run, or I mean, what are you hearing about that?
100%. That's what I thought would happen is everyone would buy, you know, we'd figure out what size made sense. Mm-hmm. Let's say bulk, everybody starts stocking it. All the SOPs start developing. What's really happened is people are creating their own guidelines based on their own, you know, regions or departments or even individual stations, which is amazing to see. So we have people who buy our bulk product. We have a 64 ounce bulk jug that you can fill your dispensers with, all the way down. We have four different sizes, all the way down to the mini travel size that people say, nope, we're sticking to the minis because they can carry it with them. And that makes the most sense for us. So it really has varied. So, you know, my hope was we could tailor it down to one or two sizes or SKUs that would make sense, but it's really across the board. Everyone's just developing what makes sense for them. Which is really nice to see. So I just kind of put it back in the hands of the departments and what makes the most sense for them. We still get a lot of orders online from individuals, and we have across the US, we have distributors, some that we're announcing soon. So we are, you know, available everywhere across the US. So we still get a lot of individual purchasers. And will we get to the point where, you know, every department is buying for their crew? Sure. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I hope so. Should they? 100%. Are we going to get there? I don't know. But it doesn't stop firefighters from needing this. So, you know, they are out there making this purchase individually for themselves as well, and advocating for their own health, which is really great to see. Yeah.
I think that interesting time to be a part of this because, you know, there is such a historical resistance to anything new or different in the fire service. And I think this actually falls in line with some of the other kind of developments that are happening with overall firefighter health and safety and wellness. You know, I think that myself, when I started St. Florian Fitness around 2017, it was like, I mean, I remember talking to people that said, you know, oh, they'll never work out. That'll never be a thing that will happen. It'll never catch on, you know, and now you look on Instagram and there's tons and tons and tons of firefighter fitness pages that are cropping up everywhere daily. Yeah. You know, I love to see. And then I think similarly, the decon issue was initially so like shocking because there was such a piece of the culture that the saltiness and the dirtiness was a badge of honor, right? 100%. You know, you wanted all your gear to smell all the time. And that was like, that was a sign that, you know, you're out there doing a lot of jobs and everything. So I think that when that first started to come out, you know, you could hear the collective eye rolling from across the Northern Hemisphere, you know. Yeah. But now I see so many more that are making it a part of their daily practice and recognizing that, like, we get to do this job. Let's keep each other safe so we can continue to do it.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, I want my husband to retire a firefighter, period. That's what sure. he wants. I want all of our friends to retire firefighters. And it's no different with, you know, mental health with firefighters right now. There's this stigma that has historically been attached to it. Like somehow we're taking away the masculinity that is inherent with firefighting. But really, if you ask those old salty guys, you know, what would you do different? They would tell you, I would decon, I would take care of my mental health. I would talk to somebody. They would tell you all of these things. We were at FDIC, thankfully we made it this year. And there was, you know, a stereotypical salty chief. I think of him every time someone talks about a person like that. You know, he had the mustache and the bald head and the wrinkles around his eyes. He was fantastic. And he said, he walked right up to me and he said, it's too late for me. So let's help these guys. And I was like, this is awful. But if you ask guys like that, like, what would you do differently? These are the things that they would do differently because they know. So it's no longer a badge of honor. It isn't. If you look at anyone and talk to anyone nowadays who's coming up in the fire service, they're taught this for a reason because we have the numbers and sadly the lost lives and the names on that wall to prove it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's definitely a change in the trend, especially when it comes to the younger firefighters are getting involved in the service. Because I had an interesting conversation with somebody within the last couple of weeks that hands me a flyer. It was a training flyer advertising some speakers that were going to be teaching somewhere or talking somewhere. And a couple of the pictures were like the typical, you know, old helmet melted down, black, salty, dirty. And one of the guys hands me the flyer and he says, "Chief, what's wrong with this picture?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" I kind of knew where he was going, but I wanted to hear it from them. You know, I said, "What do you mean?" And they're like, "Well, look at those pictures. Like, why are they advertising like that?" And I'm like, "You're starting to learn something, you know." And you know, it's progression. I think, you know, I mean, that was the norm for how long, right? If you didn't know who somebody was in the fire service, but somebody handed you a flyer that they were going to be speaking at FDIC or wherever, and you look at the picture and they just look like this old salty dog firefighter, like, "Oh, this person knows what they're talking about. You know, I got to go listen to them. You know, look how many jobs they've been to. Look at their helmet." You know, there's definitely some change happening, I think, because even simple things like that, you notice, you know, people are talking about, which,
and that takes time. And people told me that from the beginning, and they told us we were too soon. And you know, we're here hopefully at the right time now, 5 years later. But you know, maybe we can make that the norm. Maybe where there's a clean man or woman on the front, just sparkling.
And I think one of the things that we also need to talk about that, and we talked a little bit about this, I think, through a common thread of posts somewhere. Maybe it was one of the posts that we put up on our page, but So we typically, when we talk about, you know, decon and a product like yours and that, we, you know, we typically talk about after fires, right? Like after, mm-hmm. after a job cleaning up. And, but Kara and I have recently had a lot of conversations about fitness and the trend of let's put our turnout gear on and let's jump on the assault bike, or let's put our turnout gear on and let's do whatever, you know. And, you know, there's also a lot of SOPs and guideline changes around when we're wearing our turnout gear, because clean turnout gear, we're finding out now. And I'm not, when I say clean, I don't just mean clean was put through the washing machine. I mean, it could be clean out of the bag, like brand new out of the bag, isn't something that we want to be purposely sweating in, right? When we don't need to.
Right.
Yes. So we now know that gear, turnout gear, bunker gear, contains PFAS chemicals, which are forever chemicals that build up in your system. So when you're wearing your gear, whether it's dirty or not, it contains those chemicals which are rubbing up against your skin. We also know, of course, that, you know, they're not entirely bulletproof. So, you know, not the question, but when you're on a call, yes, those chemicals, those toxins are getting through your bunker gear and they're congregating in places that should be, you think technically should be covered by that barrier. They're not. They're congregating in your armpits, in your groin area, as well as your neck and your head and your hands that aren't covered. But what we now know is it's in the gear itself. So even when you think you're clean, you know, we also know that cleaning gear doesn't get rid of everything. So there's always something left on your gear. Mm-hmm. Even the best products out there don't get rid of every single particle, though we're getting there, hopefully. So it's important not just to decon your own personal self after a fire, but anytime you're wearing that gear. And it's important not to wear that gear if you don't have to. It's a risk you don't have to take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I was a big proponent and promoter of wearing your gear for working out. And the reasons for that are because it's important in your fitness to be able to mimic the lack of flexibility and the added weight and the added heat and those kind of things. And so, you know, at the time, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And putting on your gear to work out made sense because it's like, yes, I want to get my body to the level of what I need to be doing when I'm wearing this gear. But as you started to see some of these studies emerge and some new information, you do have to change your perspective to do what makes good sense. You know, we all as firemen are gonna suffer at some point in this job. It's part of the job. It's part of the fabric of being a fireman, but there's also no need to have preventable suffering. We can take away some of that. That is going to cause us harm. We don't need to do some of those things just because suffering is part of the fabric of being a fireman.
Yeah. And, you know, putting cancer aside for a second, we always talk about the big C, which is obviously important, but it's not the only thing that is caused by these chemicals. Like, these are DNA mutating chemicals. So that means it can change the physical makeup of your body. It can cause all sorts of immune disorders, infertility, you know, issues for women in general, hormonal issues, issues in your children. It can cause all sorts of different things that we're not talking about. So just because you don't get cancer doesn't mean you're not at risk for what these chemicals can do to you. So why, knowing that's out there, would you put that risk on yourself willingly if you don't have to?
Sure.
And, you know, like you said, know better, do better. We know these things now. So what else can we do to mimic that? What else can we do to mimic the lack of flexibility and the weight? And please, let's stop taking photos of our babies in dirty bunker gear. And let's just rethink what we're doing with our gear.
Yeah. I mean, listen, that's a great point that I never even thought of. You know, how many people, you know, lay their gear out on the front of an engine and lay their brand newborn in it to take a photo after a child is born. I could think of tons of friends that I know have done it over the years, you know. And, you know, another stat that I think you had shared with, I don't know who was commenting, but you guys had shared on social media was the, I think it was a five degree raise in body temperature increases your absorption rate by, was it 400?
400%. Yeah. So that's a rule of dermal absorption. So your skin is more likely, more easily absorbing those chemicals, the hotter you get. So every 5 degree, as you said, every 5 degree increase in temperature increases that potential by 400%. Wow. So going through your skin into your body directly. And now, you know, we used to say shower within the hour. That's you know, the more common phrase. Studies are now showing that within 20 minutes, those toxins are entering your skin within 20 minutes.
So I think the important point, you know, for us to make here in this conversation is because I think that when we think of, you know, when do we personally decon, or when do we hit the bathroom or go home and, you know, soap up, take a shower, clean up, we're typically thinking after a structure fire, right? But yeah. I mean, in reality, it's really every time you have your gear up. I mean,
as immediately as is humanly possible.
Right. Yeah.
And whatever you can get in the meantime is great. You know, like I'm a big proponent of wipes. Use wipes if that's what you have. Wash your hands if that's all you can wash. Wash your face if that's all you can wash. Like, get at what you can get at as quickly as you can get at it. Mm-hmm. It's not very quotable, but.
No, it's great. It's great. It's absolutely great. Kara, what else? What were you thinking over there? I could see the wheels turning.
Well, I was just thinking about, you know, you were saying about how you had started out with the one product and then developed into other one. And I saw recently that you were coming out with a bar soap, which I know Brian's going to be happy about. And when we talk about washing our gear. In terms of what, when you have your gear in the gear washer, you know, there's certain detergents that you're supposed to use that are recommended, but that's all recommended for the washer. And some of the things that I've been researching recently is, you know, some detergents that are commercially available are not necessarily, they were designed for like cotton, right? So they're not necessarily penetrating Nomex and, you know, other things like that. Does your company have plans in the future for gear cleaning products as well?
So how do I take this question? So we have all sorts of things in the works. Let's start there. I'm the sort of the chief when it comes to innovation. So when I work to develop a product, I start with products that have a gap. So products that aren't currently out there, I'm not going to recreate something that's doing fairly well until I run out of gaps to fill. I try to create things that no one else has created yet, because I think that's what you guys need the most. And that's where I can provide the most benefit. Have we been looking at laundry? Absolutely. It's something I've been working on for about 4 years now. It's coming. I need someone. Let me back up. I want to make sure that our current products are being supported before I, you know, take on the responsibility of more products. We do have a couple products launching in the next year that I can talk about that have been more prioritized. But when it comes to laundry, we are participating in a study that will hopefully come out soon, where our products have actually been used as fabric washers, as laundry products. And a couple of things I have discovered in this process is, one, there are products that are really, really great at getting out toxins, but they also contain very harsh ingredients. And not just harsh from your body and from an environmental perspective, but harsh for our extractors, harsh for the machinery, harsh for the rubber that is required in that machinery, which means it may not be able to be used effectively without degrading fabric, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I've discovered that's really interesting is, how nerdy do I get here? So PAHs, there are varying complexities in these particular chemicals. There are 16 that firefighters really see through exposure. The smaller ones, so they have two rings. They're simpler, they're smaller, they're less complex, things like naphthalene. And it goes all the way up to 5 and 6 rings, which are more complex, still in the same compound of PAH compounds. The smaller ones are fairly easy to get rid of. So a soap can get rid of naphthalene. You leave naphthalene on the counter, it will dissipate in time. They're very easy to get rid of, those small ones. So, you know, you use a dish soap, it's going to get rid of 99% of the small ones. Where it gets challenging is those larger, more complex compounds. So those ones that are listed as class one carcinogens, you know, those ones that are, you know, listed as particularly cancerous, they're more difficult to get rid of. So there's when you're creating a product like a laundry detergent, there are so many things to look at. One, it has to be safe for you, in my opinion. Two, it has to be safe for the equipment. But three, it has to get at these more complex PAHs, which is what our product is doing. And I hope to share. It's not my research. We're not paying for it. It's something we're participating in. So hopefully that will come out soon. And I look forward to sharing that. But it's a very complex product to come up with. The last thing is I'm very passionate about charcoal. But you may have noticed our products are black.
Might not be a great laundry, right?
I don't know if you noticed. But that could be a problem with laundry. So without giving too much away, I've had to be incredibly creative to make this happen. So it's in the works. It's something that we hope we can fill a gap without taking away from what anyone else has accomplished in the market.
I'm interested to hear more about it for sure. And it is a big challenge, because how much, you know, how much chemicals do you want to add to get the chemicals out of your gear without also damaging your gear, right? Because, you know, one thing I've noticed is there's a lot of stuff in place about how you wash your gear, how you take it apart, how you put it together, what get washed with what, you know, that's already in place. And it's interesting to me that we don't have that about our bodies.
Well, and for me, that chemical number has to be zero. Like, I won't add one. If I can't do it with zero chemicals, I'm not going to do it.
So that's interesting. So I know in our area, decon, fire scene decon, now prior to getting back to the station, you know, the acceptable product is just Dawn dish soap, right? With Dawn dish soap with a brush, and they brushed. Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I know. So I'm assuming, just based on what you just said, that the reason for that is because maybe that'll take away some of the larger, probably not using the right words here.
The more complex. It's actually really great at the small ones. Here's the thing about Dawn. I'm visibly worked up. You can't see me. I have like a whole hate on for Dawn. Dawn's great for dish soap. Dawn works really well to get rid of grease off of your dishes. The reason people
and use getting oil off of ducks too. Don't forget getting oil.
No, do not use it on your ducks. No Dawn. Marketing works, folks.
Yeah, right. Well, yep. And you know that, right? So this is why we're having this conversation.
Yeah. No. So there was a study that was done, I want to say 2017, but it might have been later, where they tested dry decon versus wet decon. And I'd have to pull up the exact numbers, but it's something like, you know, just brushing got rid of 26%, I'm making this up a little bit, but using a wet decon procedure, which included scrubbing for 2 minutes with Dawn Ultra dish detergent, got rid of significantly more chemicals. So because Dawn was used in this study, now everyone thinks Dawn is the thing to use. Dawn works great. Dawn's amazing. Dawn totally works. Dawn absolutely works. It's also very bad for the environment. I'm totally going to get like sued by P&G or whoever makes Dawn right now. But there's a great resource. If you look up ewg.org, you can actually see what is in a particular product. So if you search for Dawn on EWG, it'll tell you all the ingredients that are in today that were in 2012, whatever. And then if you look up those ingredients in EWG, it will tell you the safety of that ingredient. And it rates it from a cancerous perspective directly, also environmentally, how quick it works and how irritating it is, those types of things. Dawn is very poorly rated. I think it's a 7 or a D minus or something like that. It's a very poor rating. It's not meant for that. It's not meant to be put into our waterways. It's certainly not meant for your skin. Mm-hmm. The reason people use it is because it was the one used in that study. If someone, and you know, this research that we are participating in actually has Dawn as a product. And I can tell you Dawn works great, 100%. Do you want it on your skin? Do you want it on your child's skin? I don't. There are other things that work as well as Dawn, if not better. So we need to start looking deeper into things and looking past the marketing. And it's not very good from an environmental perspective, and I would not put it on my duckling, just so you know.
So when I say that, what it's being used for, I know around here, it's not I'm not filling a bucket with it and washing my face, right? That's what the wipes are for. You know, like on our apparatus, we have a big bucket of the wipes. We have a 5-gallon bucket with a hose attachment, a car wash brush, right, whatever. Awesome. And, you know, you fill the bucket with the Dawn, and you just, you know, brush off the turnout gear, brush off the SCBA, wash all that stuff down. And then you go back to the station and put it in the actual washing machine. But I don't want anybody to think we're out here scrubbing our faces with.
Oh, some are. I'm visibly upset.
Yeah.
No, like 100%. It does bump up that decontamination at a phenomenal level. Just know that those surfactants are very heavy duty. Mm-hmm. So what you're using is very strong, and that's good. Do wet decon 100%. Know what you're using and be aware that there are other options out there, and try everything. And if they're not transparent with their ingredients, look it up.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think there's lots of pushes in different directions around all of this stuff. And some of it is, you know, great and very valuable. Some of it seems very valuable, doesn't seem very practical, right? One of the big discussions I know when you go to some of the big trade shows is like the clean cab concept, you know, like having a compartment that your turnout gear rides in separately from you. And then you get at, you know, and I understand the pushback from the service of that clean cab concept, because, you know, firefighters are thinking, oh, you know, now I have to slow down what I'm doing, right, to get out, get dressed, do it. Right. So I think there's a lot of different, seems to be a lot of different avenues where some of this stuff is going. And some of it is makes a lot of sense. And some of it, I think, is going to be a harder block to step over, I guess, for the fire services.
Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, people, as long as you're using something, like, yes, sure, I'm the owner of a business and I want my business to do well, but I always tell everyone, try everything. Mm-hmm. As long as you're doing something, you know, maybe it's a bit naive, but I like to think, you know, we and the products that have come since we launched are all in this for the same reason. I like to believe that. It may not be true, but I like to believe it. Mm-hmm. And I know some of the other businesses personally, and they are in it for the right reasons. So, you know, they're trying to make products that solve a health issue for firefighters. So as long as you're using something, that means you're doing wet decon. That means you're showering as quickly as possible. Sure. That means you're, you know, proactively washing those bits that don't get washed as often as they used, you know, should. So do something. That's why we're all here. You know, I could have launched any number of different products or gone any different number of routes in my career, but I chose to do this because I'm passionate about it. So as long as one more firefighter, you know, is clean,
Sure.
Is healthier, then, you know, I consider my life a success from here on in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Kara?
I just, you know, I think it's great that we're having these conversations, you know, and bringing it to the forefront. I think that's so important. And I agree that, you know, starting out to try to do something, you know, is the first step. And I think that start out, you can, you know, continue to learn and continue to do better when you know better, as you said so eloquently. Yeah. I think that's super important. But I think it's a great conversation to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, again, you have this same conversation with a few different people, and it can be a tough conversation depending on who you're talking, you know, depending on who you're talking to. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's, I mean, you have a ton of information on this and a lot of statistics and a lot of great stuff to add to the conversation. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's just smart. I mean, you know, if you think about everything we just went through with COVID, right? And, but we're doing this every day, right? And we're putting ourselves in that toxic environment every day. And if we're not concerned with what we're bringing home, I think probably, and I know, I think New York is trying, is kind of recreating this video now. That I just saw recently a post about it, but I know one of the most, you know, powerful videos I think I saw when it came to contamination of us was the, I don't remember who made it, but where they took the powder, the neon powder, and they put the firefight, they basically, you know, as he was doing his job, he was rubbing up on it and they were throwing it on him. And then, you know, he went from the fire scene back to the station, took his gear off, took a shower, loaded the stuff in his car. And they showed you the movement with the black light afterward on how he took it from the fire scene to his kid's soccer ball when he got home, you know. And you know, if you're not buying this, if you're not thinking that you're actually bringing home contaminants, you watch a video like that, I don't know how you can deny it, you know.
Well, I also don't know a firefighter I've ever met who, you know, is presented with new information and new ways of doing things and has denied it, you know. Sure. Firefighters are always trying to improve and always training and always trying to do better. And this is just another aspect of that. So I don't know a single one who would say, I know this information and I'm still not going to do it. I haven't met one yet.
Yeah, right. I agree.
Three's out there. But I haven't met
them. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Kara, anything else you want to add?
No, I think, like I said, I'm just happy that we are having these conversations and getting the information out there. You know, I think it's super important for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Dee, anything else? Anything? Can you tell what, you know, we got to give the plugs and, you know, we got to tell everybody where they can go and to get the product and how they can follow you on social media and all that stuff. So let's do that.
Yeah, 100%. Well, odds are we have a distributor in your area. If not, reach out to me, let me know who they are, and they will soon be a distributor. We're all across the United States and Canada at this point. We have new products coming out. You can find out more at sootsoap.ca. Sign up for our newsletter. We will have information coming out on pre-orders. Our new product that's launching soon is called Smell Gel. You heard it here first.
All right.
Soot Soap Smell Gel. Have you guys ever used, I don't know if I should say the name, it's literally going to kill me. Have you ever used Vicks Vapor Rub under your nose?
I used to carry Vicks Vapor Rub in my PPE for those bad medical calls.
Did you know it's toxic?
No, no clue.
No. So Vicks actually contains camphor, which is an all natural ingredient, but it's fine if you put it on your chest. It's fine if you put it on your feet, on your skin. It helps the temperature rise. It helps the heat come to the surface. Mm-hmm. But if you're putting it in your nose and you're ingesting it through your mucous membranes, is essentially what you're doing when you're putting it in your nostrils. It's actually toxic. This is a baby killing ingredient. If you look at the baby version of the same product, it does not contain camphor for a reason, because it's horrible. It also contains petroleum byproducts and some other things in there that I'm not particularly in love with. So we've actually created a vegan, non-toxic, does not contain camphor or petroleum or turpentine or any of these other things.
Wow.
And it works to block noxious odors, specifically designed for firefighters.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Out for that.
Thank you. So we're finalizing the packaging now. The product is done. We're just working through labeling and everything, and that will be out for pre-order either through a distributor near you or direct through setsoap.ca in the new year.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then we have a whole other line that is coming out, but I will reserve that one for the new year till it's a little bit farther down the line. But it's a pretty exciting brand new line for us. So it's actually at the request. We got government funding to do this one because they felt it was important. So,
wow, that's great.
Yeah. And if, you know, if you have any ideas, like I said, I'm here to fill gaps. So if there is some, you know, solution that you guys think you're missing, if there's something you think no one's thought of, if there's a lack of healthy version of something you're already doing, reach out to me personally. Just address your comment to me. You can go on our website and click contact us. You can email us at info@sootsoap.ca, or you can find me. People find me. You can do that too. My name is Dee. There aren't that many of us.
That's awesome. That's great. We appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge on the topic. Sorry it took us so long to actually get this done, but I'm glad we did. And I think it's an important conversation to keep having, and for all of us to just, you know, keep out there in the forefront that, you know, this is important, and we're not just talking about, you know, a difference in our lives as firefighters, but we're talking about a difference in, you know, those we love that are around us that we go home to. So I've said that often in other conversations before. Look, if you don't want to do it for yourself, maybe you want to do it for the ones that you're going home to. Yeah,
100%. But as firefighters, we also need to do more for ourselves.
Yeah, mentally, absolutely.
And physically. So please
do it for yourself. For sure. Kara, anything to plug or add before we go?
No, just make sure that you're, you know, doing your workouts daily, and you can follow me. And check out some workouts and all the latest and greatest information on my SnowFits.
You guys are killing it on the weekends at your firehouse. I like seeing that. I mean,
we have such a great time.
Yeah, your guys are awesome. It's good to see that group thing going on and being successful. So it's good to see.
Got some new equipment in the station, and the guys are loving it. So, I'm really proud of them. We've seen a lot of improvements in form and function, and, you know, they're noticing it on the fire ground too, that they're feeling better. So that's what it's all about.
Cool. I'm going to plug something real quick. We're getting out in January, Chief Andershack and I, with our Setting Our Volunteers Up for Success program. And, we've actually, we're calling it our tour, right? Because it just worked out that we're going out for an entire weekend, and we're hitting Carlisle Volunteer Fire Department in Delaware on Saturday, January 28th. And then we're hitting Odenton Volunteer Fire Department in Maryland on December 29th. Registration's open. Information can be found on our Instagram page. And I'm going to kind of create a little competition here, because Odenton is kicking ass. I mean, they've got like 30 guys signed up for the seminar already, which is awesome. We're super stoked to get down there and talk to these guys. And Carlisle's right there, but you guys got to step it up and fill the seats. So let's see who fills more seats between Delaware and Maryland for our January weekend tour of it's gonna be fun.
Team Odenton, because that's the new home of my former mentee and
all
great fireman Joe McLaughlin.
Yeah absolutely, former guest of ours here on the show. And so wild how things come full circle, you know. So, all right, well guys, thank you very much. Dee, thank you again. I appreciate you coming on, and
pleasure.
Guys, stay safe and have a great holiday season, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, guys.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Bye.